Today on Family Talk.
Hello, and welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh. No doubt you've heard something about the new bathroom policies popping up around the nation at stores, gyms, and now schools around the country. Gender lines are being blurred. So how should a Christian respond to this issue? Well, today's guest has some great advice on that topic, and here's Dr. Dobson to introduce him on Family Talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to another edition of Family Talk, and I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson, and I am grateful and appreciative that you've tuned into our broadcast today. If you heard our guest, Janet Porter, we've been talking about gender fluidity. That's what some people are calling it, which means boy or girl or man or woman choosing to identify with the opposite sex. And as a result, that person having the authority and the legal right to go into the bathrooms, the locker rooms, the showers, the toilets, and other facilities of the opposite sex, or in the case of Target stores, into fitting rooms where a little girl could be putting on a dress or taking one off. And a man can walk in because he identifies with the opposite sex. It's wrong, it's evil, and it's something that we are deeply opposed to. And then it could also be a woman that is in one of those facilities, and a man who is dressed like a woman and identifies as a woman walks in and uses the bathroom facilities. It's just almost unbelievable that this is not only occurring, but our president, Barack Obama, a few weeks ago sent out a directive regarding public schools, all of them, demanding that they open the facilities that I just named to the opposite sex without permission or approval. And that was what we've been talking about and warning parents about. It's a time to stand up and defend your children. These are safety issues, and there's also modesty issues involved here, and there are also scriptural principles that we're going to talk about today. And for today, we have invited Pastor Dave Love from Calvary Church in nearby Castle Rock, Colorado, right near us here. And he's here with us in the studio. In fact, we have a recording that the pastor made two Sundays ago, and we're going to let our listeners hear about the last 15 minutes of this sermon, which is on the subject that we're talking about. Pastor Love, thank you for being with us today and for letting us air your excellent sermon.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to meet you and to be on this program. And, you know, what I see the Lord doing in my own life and with our church, as well as where the country is right now, this is a very important subject.
You have a great deal of courage to stand up and talk about a politically incorrect issue as you did, and I admire you for that.
Well, thank you. I don't think I'm the only one. I think there are many people that are standing up in pulpits, and I think there are twice as many, though, that are not. And so I believe that God's word is God's word, and so long as we do what his word says, I think in the end we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Let me take a guess. Has a pastor of a different church ever come up to you and said, you've got to quit being so political?
I have not had a pastor say that. I have had other people say that, whether those who might go to our church or somebody who has been visiting our church.
And what is your answer?
My answer is I have to do what God's word tells me to do. And I believe I'm a watchman. I believe I'm a watchman on the wall. And so I have to be able to warn what's going on. We're already being attacked, so I have to let our congregation know that. And then where that falls, then is the responsibility of those who have heard. Whether they want to run to the Lord, he is our refuge. Just like they did back in Ezekiel's day, if there was a watchman that says the enemy's coming, they would then go behind the walls of the city. And so I am just being a mouthpiece of being able to say, this is going on, and run to the Lord and do what the Lord says to do.
You and I have never met, but you're my kind of man, and I appreciate that willingness to take a stand in a world like we live in. I mean, it's just there are an awful lot of people who don't want to take the heat, and they don't want to be criticized, and they want to build bigger churches, and they don't want anybody mad at them, and therefore they skip over, they hopscotch over the scriptures that tell us this is our responsibility to pick up our cross and carry it. Jesus said that.
Yes, and I got to tell you something, that when it comes to preaching the Word of God, I'm going to have to stand before God someday. I'm not standing before our congregation. I'm not standing before any man. I'm standing before the Lord. And one of my favorite scriptures is in Matthew 25, God himself says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Well, not every Christian is going to hear that, only those who have done something well. And I know what God has called me to do, and that is to preach the Word of God, not opinion.
Do you know that that thought that the Lord has given me the opportunity to speak to millions of people and given me the resources to do it burdens me with the thought that someday I'm going to stand before the Lord and have to give account for all that?
Yes.
I do not want to be embarrassed at that time. I don't want him to say, "You had every opportunity and you were afraid to take a stand."
That's exactly right. That's exactly
you
right.
You feel the same way.
I feel
don't you?
That exact same calling. And I just want to be pure with the Word of God. And I do not want culture to dictate the Word of God. The Word of God is supposed to dictate culture.
Mm-hmm.
Word of God changes culture. Culture should not change the Word of God. And so I cannot be politically correct with the culture that is before us right now. I can only be politically incorrect, because God's Word is completely different than what the culture is telling us that we're supposed to do.
Well, I want to leave us just a little bit of time to talk after we've heard the last half of your sermon, which we had an opportunity to hear it all, but I also want to talk to you. So we're going to play your sermon, a recording of it, that occurred just 2 weeks ago on this issue of gender fluidity and bathroom, open bathrooms, and that whole subject. So let's do it at this time. This is Pastor Dave Love from Calvary Church in Castle Rock, Colorado.
Yes.
I will be out to see you one of these days.
I would love that.
Okay.
"Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." No culture can survive when they lose their balance between right and wrong. You won't survive. Our president and this administration has put our children at risk. Our kids are no longer safe in public education. They're no longer safe from the perversion of this world in our public schools. When you see the evil that is being handed down, a directive from the president himself that encourages this perversion, I only have one thing to say: the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. To give a directive to allow this, to allow our children in elementary school to use the opposite sex bathroom, is pure evil. And society, through our leaders, is calling evil good and good evil. And justice is being taken away from the righteous. And the way of thinking is a philosophy that is demonic, that comes from the pit of hell. This is a philosophy from Satan himself. Yet we shouldn't really be surprised, because we are told in the latter days this would happen. And I want you to go to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verse 1 says, "Why do the nations rage? Why are they so all up in arms? And the people plot a vain thing. This is why the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.'" This is exactly what our president did last week. In his heart, he wants to cast away God's morality for the family unit. He's in agreement with, "Let us break their bonds in pieces, cast away their cords from us." These bonds and these cords are bonds and cords of righteousness, is what they are. They're bonds of to restrain us from evil. Cords are cords of absolute morality, and they tether us to the morality of God. They're bonds and cords of righteousness.
And this administration wants nothing to do with these moral constraints, and he wants to break away from them altogether. And they take counsel against the Lord's anointed. They take counsel against the Messiah. They take counsel against Jesus himself, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one who came and lived here on this earth. And you know how he lived? By submitting himself to the absolute moral authority of God and carrying out those moral authorities. And he did it perfectly. In Matthew 5, 17 through 19, Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets, but our president has. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Most assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven." Least, it's a diminutive word, and it means the very smallest of the small. The president might think he's big. The president might think that he is doing a good thing, and he might be elevated in his own eyes and the eyes of other people, but in God's eyes, he's very, very small and very insignificant in what he has done. Jesus lived out the moral absolutes of God's word. He didn't come to break any of the absolutes of God's word. He came to carry them out perfectly. And when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, what is it that he said? Hey, guess what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We are to live according to God's word, by every word of God. It's God's word and God's word alone, and it's perfect. It's absolute. Jesus would later say in Matthew 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but guess what? My words will never pass away. This world will pass away. This directive that the president gave, it's going to pass away. But God's word will never pass away. Those who break away from God's bonds and cords of righteousness, these moral absolutes of God, these moral absolutes of gender, moral absolutes that speak of right and wrong, those who do away with them, well, guess what? Woe unto you. Judgment is going to come your way. And I'm not going to sit by and let this directive come and not say anything about it. I'm here to tell you something. The attacks are real. The attack on the family unit is real. And it's and being authored by none other than Satan himself to try and destroy the moral fabric of our society. I know something. Very easy. You're right. Very easy for me to preach this message. Very easy for me to give this in front of the friendlies. But it'll get out there. There's the website. There's the internet. There's somebody who is going to say, this is awesome. I want to share this with somebody. And somebody else is going to watch it and not like it and share it in a very, very derogatory way. And then maybe someone's going to show up to want to take issue with me. Or maybe a group might show up and take issue with me. But you know what? I don't care. I don't care. And I'm not being thrown, I'm actually placing myself in the fiery pit of political incorrectness. Much like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they refused to bow down to the false image of a god, they refused to do that, and neither will I bow down and accept this false image of what others say is right when it's absolutely wrong. And when they say evil is good and good is evil, woe unto them. Woe unto them. But that is exactly what's going on. To be told that we must accept gay marriage is wrong. I don't accept that. And I will not teach that it's okay. If you have same-sex attraction, guess what? I love you. I do. I want to walk with you. I want to be able to show you the truth of God's word. But by sharing you the truth doesn't mean I don't love you. If I don't share you the truth, that means I don't love you. And so I'm not going to accept that as being right. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't answer to the Supreme Court. I answer to the Lord himself. And that's who I'm going to stand before. You might tell me all you want. You're going to tell me to accept transgenders in bathroom facilities and locker rooms? No, I don't accept that. And I'm not going to teach that as right. It is wrong. And I will continue to teach that it's wrong. And by not agreeing and going alongside with the new society norms, I'm not a hater. I know you're going to try and paint me as one, but I'm not a hater. I love people. And I know that if they go down this road, it's going to be to their grief and misery. Because God's word tells me so. I will love, but I'll also speak the truth. And I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to be silent with the evil that is upon us. What I know is this, and this is an absolute truth. Every single one of us, yes, I get it, myself included, I will stand before the living God. And so will everybody that has ever walked the face of the earth. But I believe that every Christian is being called to make a decision, much like Moses made in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, when he said, I would rather choose to suffer affliction with God's people than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt or the world. Why? And Moses, it says, because Moses looked to the reward. That's why. I look to the reward. I know that this is probably going to end up with egg on my face. That's fine. But I look towards the reward, and I'm going to stand before God, and I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And not every believer is going to hear that word, well done. In order to hear those words, you had to have done something well. Are you living out the truth? Are you teaching the truth? Are you loving people? Yes, I understand we're supposed to be a light. Well, David didn't sound very loving. I'm sorry, but it is covered in salt. And salt is a preservative. And Jesus said to be salt and light, not just light. He says salt and light. You know what's interesting is that in the 7-year tribulation period, guess what? Only light. You're trying to get as many people as you can before judgment finally comes. But now we're told to be salt and light. Yes, I want to try and reach as many people as I can. But God also tells me that we, the church, are the moral authority based upon God's morals. And that we are salt to this generation, salt to society. Salt back then was a preservative. They didn't have refrigeration. So they smeared on meat to do what? To slow down the decaying process. It doesn't take it away. Slows it down. And we are in this world to slow down the decaying process of the world, of society. And so we have to stand up and we have to say, no, that is wrong. And what you have decreed is wrong. And you are saying evil is good and good is evil. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. Political correctness says you cannot call wrong behavior sin. And if you do, you're a hater. And that's hate speech. Bring it. Bring it. That's the way it is. And you can label me as a hater all you want. You're wrong. I'm not a hater. I love people. And the words that I say show that I love people because I'm willing to show them and tell them the truth. And you're not. And that means you're evil. That means that you're evil. And today's society, evil is now good and good is now evil. Remember, the devil has come to steal, to kill, to destroy. This issue is not about homosexuality. The issue is about marriage. The issue is not about transgender using bathrooms or locker rooms of their choice. The issue is that Satan wants to ruin, absolutely ruin the fabric of society. And so he can steal the innocence of your children by having them be in public schools that is going to allow for this transgender behavior. He wants to steal your innocence of your kids, destroy and kill the foundation of this nation, which is built on Judeo-Christian values. And as Christians, we need to stand up. We need to stand up and we need to let people know that this is wrong. And there's a way to do that here in the United States. It's calling upon Governor Hickenlooper. You call his office and you say, are you for or against this directive that was given on May 13th by the Justice Department through our president? Are you for or against it? Well, we haven't come out yet, whatever it might be. Are you for and against it? Come back. I want to know where you stand on this. You call our senators. I want to know where you stand on this. You call your congressman. I want to know where you stand on this. I've called my congressman. I've called our senators. I've left messages. I called Hickenlooper. He doesn't allow you to leave messages. You have to call when their hours are during the week, just so you know. So I'll call him tomorrow. All right. But can you imagine if every single one of you in this room called? With all the people that come and all the three services and those who aren't here but hear about it, and we exhort people to call, and just half of them, you would absolutely blow up their phone lines. And I mean that in a figurative way. All right? Let's make that very clear. All right? But there's something we can do here. You can make a call. You really can. You live in the United States of America. How long it's going to be that way, I don't know. But right now, you have the freedom to do that and voice your displeasure of the direction this country is going. And I would say, do it. You can call, voice your displeasure, put pressure on them, say, no, we're not going to tolerate this. I want to know where you stand on this. I want to know where you stand. And so I just want you to know something. Are you willing to be thrown into the fiery pit of political incorrectness? Because I am. And I don't even have to be thrown in. I will jump voluntarily there. And what happens with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they went into that fiery furnace? What happened at that point? Who did they find there? The Son of God, Jesus himself. I just want to be where Jesus is. And quite often, he's in the fiery pit of political incorrectness. And so I want to exhort and encourage you, make the call. Make the call. And I want to make this very clear. I love people. I love everybody. No matter what you're going through, I love you. And I want to make that very, very clear. And if you're struggling with something, yeah, let's talk about it. Let's see what God's word has to say. But I'm going to point you to the truth. I have not been called to tell you what you want to hear. I'm here to tell you what God's word says and bring you to that place and show you where it says. Not my opinion. This is what God's word says. And that's what we're going to do here at Calvary Castle Rock.
Pastor Love, that was a wonderful sermon. And as we said at the top of the program, it took courage to preach it. Did your church go with you? What was the response?
The response has been overwhelming, and I know many people, because I just had the Wednesday night Bible study a couple nights ago, and many of them said that they called. I have since heard back from Governor Hickenlooper's office. A representative did call me and would not commit one way or another if they were for this directive or not. And so it was they would not tell me. We had a very spirited discussion, but they would not tell me. And I said, well, that tells me that you are for it. Mm-hmm.
What I appreciated about what you had to say is it was based on Scripture. Everything you said had a scriptural reference to it.
Right.
You obviously depend a lot on Scripture in your sermons, don't you? You're not there to present your views or your opinions, but the opinion of Almighty God.
Right. Well, we do expository teaching. So I go through chapter and chapter, verse by verse. We're in the book of Revelation. People could say, well, how on earth did you bounce from this, from the book of Revelation? But we were in Revelation 10, where John himself is told, hey, you're going to eat this little scroll, this little book, and it's going to taste like honey. It's going to be sweet, but it's going to be bitter. And that's how it is when you preach the Word of God. There's a lot of sweetness in your study time, reading the Word, being able to give it out to exhort, but there's also that bitter of being able to say, the Bible also says, I need to rebuke. I need to tell the truth. And that hurts. And the Word of God offends, you know? And so that's the bitter part. That's not the fun part. And so going from that and seeing that bridge of being able to jump in to this issue that is so relevant right now, it was totally leading of the Lord.
Well, our God is a God of love. We know that.
Yes.
And that is emphasized in pulpits all over the country. Right. But he's also a God of justice.
Absolutely.
And they have equal place in his character,
right,
and who he is and how he relates to us. The notion that we can have all positive thinking is really not scriptural, because there's also the warning note in Scripture.
Right.
And the minister who won't preach that is doing a disservice to his people.
And so, I think that we are all tempted all the time to go by how we feel. And yet the Word of God makes it very clear. You don't go by how you feel. You go by what you know. So when Jesus says that you need to love less mother and father in order to be my disciple, what he's saying is that I have to be first. In all other relationships, I take priority. And so you might feel one thing, but my Word says this. Well, the only way you can truly show that you love me is by doing what you know the Word of God says, as opposed to how you feel. And out of gratitude of heart, it's the love of Christ that compels me. Jesus died for my sin. Mm-hmm. He did so much for me. I'm so excited that I have eternity. I'm so excited about what he's called me to do. How's the best way to show him that I love him and I'm thankful? Be obedient to his word. Jesus says, if you love me, what? You will obey me. And so I do believe that a lot of people do disservice to the Word of God. They want to do what they feel the Word of God says, as opposed to what they know the Word of God says.
Pastor, it's been a pleasure having you here today. And
thank you
for dealing with such a difficult issue in such a loving way. And let's stay in touch.
I would like that very much. Thank you very much. I'm very honored and privileged to be here.
God be with you.
You too.
You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with our guest, Pastor David Love, reminding us that now more than ever, Christians need to be ready to be bold and stand strong. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you would like to hear Pastor Love's entire sermon, which is based on Revelation chapter 10, follow the link on our broadcast page. You'll find it at drjamesdobson.org. As you know, Family Talk is a listener-supported ministry, so if you're able to, we would appreciate your support and contributions. Call us at 877-732-6825, or you can reach us via our website, drjamesdobson.org. We offer tremendous resources on our website to help you and your family, and would love to engage with you. Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to tune in again next time to hear part one of a special Father's Day broadcast right here on Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.